Praise the Lord. Why don't you give the Lord one more clap offering? Come on, give him a praise. Aren't you thankful for him today? Well, it's good to be with you. Good to see all your faces and those of you that I get to see more often than not. I love all of you, and those of you that have just come back to church, it's good to see you. Amen? And those of you that haven't made it back, come on, we've been missing you. It's time to get back to the Lord's house. Amen. My dad preached a message last week, and he made a statement that you'll remember because I think it struck you as it struck me. The word that he said was, I haven't seen my greatest purpose. I haven't seen what God will do in my life to the end. I haven't realized everything that God has for me. And that's a profound statement, because what that means is that God has more for each and every one of us. Not just an elite few, not just he didn't just pick out a couple here and there. For everyone that names the name of Jesus and makes a decision, hey, I want this. I want the best that God has for me ahead. He has your greatest purpose ahead. You can say amen to that. He's not done. That makes it so you're not done. And I'm mature enough to say today that I have no clue what's ahead. We would like a crystal ball, wouldn't we? We'd like to know what's around the corner. How do we divert an issue? How do we handle a problem? But we don't know what's ahead, but God does know what's ahead for us. That's why it's so important to know Jesus. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with him and be growing in that relationship with him, because then he kind of takes care of some things that we don't know about, that we don't see ahead, that we can't handle ahead. You know, you meet people that they're so confident. They're so confident in who they are. They've met a degree of success in life which has led them to a place to believing that they have the answer. Well, we all know better than that, because I have yet to meet a person that at all areas of their life they've said, well, I got it all together. And I think the closer that we come to maturity and the closer that we come to understanding, we know how little that we really do know. But the Lord knows the way that I take. And being around church and being around people and being around the body of Christ for many, many years, we can all attest that we've had these huge spiritual highs, haven't we? Have you ever been there before where God just did an amazing thing and you had an amazing moment in a service or in a small group or in your family? God did an amazing thing. But I think if we're honest this morning, I think if we're really transparent this morning, we'll also say there's been some moments where we just were a complete hypocrite. There's been some moments where we just talked totally out of text, totally out of character, and we're so embarrassed by it. We just wanted to crawl in a hole and hide from the world because we acted so dumb that how can you have these spiritual moments and these dumb moments all? Am I the only one here? You kind of leave me alone on this. Huge mountaintop experiences, but deep valley experiences. The wonderful thing is the Lord knows the way that I take, and he knows the way you take. Twists and turns, laughter and pain, pleasure and process. If we take him by the hand, we will learn something very profound. Lessons on the mountaintop, but some better learned in a valley season. I begin to think about the lessons that I've learned in valley and mountaintop experiences that our teacher, our advocate, the Holy Spirit, brings us to lessons not to hurt us, not to humiliate us, but to help us. One of the most difficult things for a person when you're ministering to people is that God is revealing a lesson. God is revealing a recall, if you may, in a life, and to watch someone totally pull back from it because they don't want the process, they just want the lesson. They don't want they want the answer, but they don't want the test. The teacher doesn't send the test to hurt the student. He sends the test to help the student. He sends the test. She sends the text in a teaching setting. They send that test to help the student. And it's the same way with our teacher, with our manufacturer. I thought of the car business. My brother's in the car business. I thought of the car business with the car industry. At times, the manufacturer will recall a car. That when the car was built in the younger years of the car, no matter if the car is a young car or an old car, from time to time, the manufacturer pauses the entire process and has to recall a certain portion of that car. And I think if we're honest this morning, we've had a few recalls in our lives. We've had a few moments where we thought we had it figured out, and we thought we had it all calculated and processed and figured out, and we knew the road, and we knew the path, and we knew the journey. But somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit paused us. The Lord paused us and says, "No, I'm gonna change the tone of this just a little bit. I'm gonna do a recall in your life and in your family." And I think dads, I think moms in the room, you can see recalls in your kids where they were going down a path, they were going down a journey, and you were praying, and you were praying on their behalf, and all of a sudden God got involved and did a recall. He did kind of a check in a family. I think about being a dad now. I have a soon-to-be 12-year-old. I can't believe it, Andrew. You're about to be 12. And big boy. And a 13-year-old up in the sound booth there. I think of me being 12 and 13. Some of you were here when I was that age. And I think of some of the lessons that my dad taught me and how I resented those lessons at the time. Why would he do that? Why would he say that to me? Why would he treat me that way? This is slave labor. All to find out down the road, I don't resent it anymore. I love it. I don't resent the lesson anymore. I'm not hurt by the lesson. I'm not humiliated by the lesson. I was helped by the lesson. My boys, now I end up doing the same thing to them. We were mowing the lawn yesterday. We got to mow it today again. We just mowed it. Yeah, we're going to mow it again. Get the mowers out. And in a flash, it was like yesterday, guys, that my dad was saying that to me. And now here I am, because the Lord knows the way that I take. He knows the twists and the turns and the ups and the downs and the backs and the forth and the tugs and the pulls of my life, and he knows them of your life. If you'll allow him, if you'll let him, as imperfect as I am, if I'll let him, if as imperfect as you are, if you'll let him, he'll know, he knows the way that you take. The teacher is training the weak spots of our lives for preparation. He's preparing us for this journey called life, not to hurt us, but to help us. As I read this week in Job 42, he kind of describes it in his own words, and I won't minister from this morning, but it's some interesting statements that he makes. He says these words. Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things." No purpose. Someone needs to hear that this morning. No purpose, no plan in your life, he goes on to say, can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely, listen to these words. I think we've said these words before. Surely I spoke of things I didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you'll answer me. He says, Job says these words, to simplify them. He says, I shot my mouth off. I tried to be the teacher in a moment where I should have been the student. I should have shut up. I should have just listened. I should have watched. I should have walked a little bit further before I just went out there and talked out of turn. It's easy to say how something should be done when you never did it. To advise someone on how to do something when you've never done it yourself. Job says, as I walked down the road a little bit, my eyes were opened. He said these words. He said, therefore I despise and repent in ashes and in dust. He says, I was wrong. I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. I wasn't as experienced as I thought I was. Now, halfway through Job's life, he says these words. I thought I knew. I didn't know. Halfway through his life, he says these words. Only the Lord knows the way that I take. Only he knows the journey that I take. He said, I was wrong. I should have been quiet. Don't think negative of Job, though. Don't think bad of him. God said that Job was a righteous man. What a parallel. On one side, the guy is shooting his mouth off. And on the other side, God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. You ever been there? Righteous, but kind of talked out of turn? I've been there. He's on the road, Job is, from speculation to revelation. Job gets to understand God more, listen to these words, as his cattle dies. Job gets to understand God more as his wife says these words, I abhor your very breath. She says, I hate your breath. Some needed some marriage counseling, amen. Job gets to understand God more in the toughest, most difficult places in life. And remember, Job was a righteous man. He was a righteous man that had financial issues. He was a righteous man that had family issues. He was a righteous man that had every problem in the book. God still says he's a righteous man because the Lord knows the way that I take. How many hills that I'll have to climb. How many turns I'll have to take to find my purpose. Oh gosh, I love that. He knows the way that I take. He's preparing a way for me to find that purpose that he has laid out. Paul says it this way, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it. St. Paul says, man, I don't have it figured out either. I just keep moving forward. I press forward on the journey. I keep my commitment to Christ and the things of God. I understand I don't know it all. I understand I don't have it all together. I understand my situation might not be perfect, but I press forward because I know who knows the path that's laid out before me. The Lord knows the way that we take. You won't be finished this weekend. Sorry to tell you that. You won't be finished next week. You won't get it all done this year. You won't have the depth of understanding this week that you want to have. But the Lord knows the way that you take. It is the things that God leads us through that makes us who we are tomorrow. The Lord knows the way that I take. Let me show you this morning. Let's pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for the next few fleeting moments. God, minister to our hearts, to our minds and our spirits, in Jesus' name, amen. In Acts 30, for the sake of time, there's an Ethiopian eunuch that Philip is chasing down the road. You're familiar with it, those of you that are in the scripture. God speaks to Philip and says, hey, go chase this guy down. This guy is on a journey. He's on a road. He's on a path from Ethiopia to the province of Jerusalem, and now he is on his way back home. On that journey called the Lord Knows the Way That I Take, number one, my first thought with this morning is there are people God is asking you to hook up like he's hooked you up. On the journey, on the path, on the road, instead of trying to get it all together, instead of trying to have all the pieces put together and just perfect, recognize what God has given you today and use it to hook someone up tomorrow. God has done amazing things in your life. Amazing miracles. Things that you can look back at and say, man, I know I'm not that good. I know I'm not that smart. I know I'm not that gifted. But God, for some reason, you graced me in such a way that you gave me a miracle in the moment. And our responsibility is to share that gift, to share that miracle, to share that opportunity with someone else. My dad's modeled this. When we were growing up, my dad would give and give and give. And I can remember specifically conversations with my dad where my brother and I would ask, why do you keep giving? Those people are mean. Those people talk about you. Why do you spend that time with them? Because he was modeling what the scripture is showing us to do. God had graced him with certain portions of education, certain perspectives, certain gifts that he knew he had to give, even if the student wasn't ready to receive them. He had to force feed the student. Philip chases the chariot down. The chariot doesn't stop and say, hey, man, Philip, you got something. Jump on in here. The scripture says that Philip chases the chariot down. He chases the student down and begins to minister to him. And he begins to share the gospel with him. Just real briefly, this Ethiopian man, he's a part of a dynasty he was serving under Queen Candace, if you read the history of the story. And my question was, why was this Ethiopian man in Jerusalem? Why is this Ethiopian man worshiping the God of the Jews? Why? And if you read in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, you'll realize that the Queen of Sheba came to meet with Solomon. And you know the story. She says, your wisdom is so great. Your house is in such order. You've given me these answers. I can't even believe the answers that you've given me. I must follow your God. She goes back to Ethiopia and says, tear down all the Asherah poles. Tear down all the idols. We will worship, this nation will worship the King of the Jews, this Jehovah God. This is in the Old Testament. The New Testament comes to light, and this dynasty of queens is attached to the Old Testament. So they have an understanding of who God is, built on the laws of Moses, but they don't have an understanding of who Jesus is. Comes from 1 Kings in the Old Testament all the way into Acts. I want you to know it's all connected. God is orchestrating this Ethiopian eunuch's journey just like he's orchestrating yours. comes to Jerusalem. He worships the Lord. And after having this worship experience in the temple, he has this amazing journey. He has this amazing experience in the temple. And which brings me to my second point. We will never come to a place where we have understood everything there is to know about God. I want to know everything. I want to get it all down. I meet with people. I need to understand this and that. They're trying to connect the dots. And although that's wonderful, I promise you, you'll never understand it all. I'm meeting with people. You ran a Christian college and you're telling me you just got a new revelation in this scripture? Yeah, I am. You've pastored a church for 40 years, and you tell me you just are getting this new revelation in the scripture? Yeah, I am. You pastor a church of 10,000, and last week you just got this revelation now? Huh? I thought you had all this figured out. No. You will never come to a place of full realization of who God is and what he has for you. God sends things and people to you from time to time to update you. God has more to show us and more understanding to go. Which leads me this morning to my last point. And I know I'm messing you up there in the back, but we're a little tight on time. My last point this morning: until you invite Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the people he sends into the place of your uncertainty, you'll be stuck. In this story, the Ethiopian man, he's not a poor, destitute, uneducated individual. Understand this. This Ethiopian man is one step below the queen of a nation, and he's responsible for the finances of the nation, and the king sends him to Jerusalem. This is no dumb man. This is a sharp, this is an individual with a title and a job, and he is a force behind his country. He's headed down the road, but I want you to know, even though he's got a title, and even though he has a position, and even though he's good at what he does, there is a moment of uncertainty in his life. And I want you to know that every person within the sound of my voice, there will be uncertain waters that you'll have to tread through from time to time. And here is the question. The question is not, will God send Philip to me? The question is, will you open your chariot to receive him? He's running down the road, and Philip is saying, hey, man, you don't understand all this. You know the God of the commandments, but you don't know Jesus. You need an update in your understanding of who Jesus is, because he keeps updating us. The question is this: will you unlock your chariot to let the Holy Spirit and to let Philip into your chariot? Am I humble enough? Will I let my pride down enough to say, I don't want my chariot stuck here forever? And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. You can be saved. You can be born again. You can know Jesus, and you can be stuck. And the Lord told me, there are people who won't let anyone in their chariot because they're afraid of getting hurt. I got hurt before. I got abused before. They treated me bad before. He broke my heart before. She left me before. The problem with that perspective, the problem with that outlook is you'll never get hurt again, but you can't get healed now. If you don't let something, the Holy Spirit, someone in your chariot, you can't get unstuck. So the question is, on the Lord knows the way that I take journey? Because he does know the way that you take. The Ethiopian man says these words, how can I understand it unless someone teach me? Unless someone show me. Job says these words, only the Lord knows the way that I take. I was blind all alone. Two statements of complete humility. My question for you, will you unlock your chariot? Will you open your heart? Will we open our organization to people who might have a gift, might have a calling, and might have a perspective for our organization that we don't have? Or will we lock everyone out that comes along because we're scared of our little chariot? My prayer is, open that chariot wide. Open that door wide. Because the Lord knows the way that I take. If you'll unlock your chariot, just lift your hand. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll unlock this chariot. Unlock the doors of our hearts. The things that we've hidden away from. Because we messed it up, and others messed it up. But Father, we know that you know the way that we take. Anything that you allow as we serve you and as we love you, Father, it's for our good. You're working it for our good. So we unlock the chariot. We unlock the door. We lay down our pride. We lay down our selfish ambition. And we say, Father, have your way. Not only in our lives, not only in our families, but in this church, Father. Our prayer is that the door of our chariot would be open. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Beautiful. Come on, can you put your hands together for Jesus again? Absolutely wonderful. So great. Thank you, Pastor Ryan. Such a great time to be involved in the work of the Lord. We had made the plan at the beginning of the year that we would start again, that we've done in the past, to take a missions offering at the end of every month. It's the end of the month. Can you believe it? The end of April. I know with the snow last week, not everybody thought of that. But our missions offering this month is going to go local. And it's going to go right into what God has called us to do. And that's this gymnasium. That was part of the dream that we've had for years. And 4 years ago when God opened up that door, as difficult as that was, there was a great group of people in leadership that said, we need to do this. And we stepped out and we did it. One of the things that was lacking, and the gym floor has been used a lot, but we thought in the middle of a pandemic when it is shut down, that we could accomplish something that would take, I think they've been at it over a month now, and it's got to sit a few more weeks. But you're looking at that floor, these pictures now, that has been completely refinished. I don't know, 300-400 new boards put in there. And what a process this is. A process that we have engaged in. And thank God for those of you who have been diligent every single month that you've given over and above to the work of the Lord that's going on at that St. Anthony's project. I'm just telling you, I'm so blessed by that and so amazed, because it doesn't just happen. A lot of people come in and say, oh, this is great, you're doing such a good thing. It takes a lot. And, you know, before we were shut down feeding kids, you know, there's been 200 kids in there. The city and the county youth bureau recognizing that, moving in, many other organizations reaching out to partner with us on this. And we want to help everybody. And I'm just asking you this month that as we embark on completing this project, it's done, it's sitting there, we're going to pay them over the course of 5 months. For that project, for that floor alone, was just a little over $30,000. And I just want to ask you if you'll help every month. Today, you can go again on the push pay. There's a spot there for missions. If you want to use an envelope, you can send a check later. You want to help in any way that you can. Ask God, what would he have you to do? There have been kids and adults of both that have given their hearts and their lives to Jesus in this Tuesday process. Right on the other side of it, every week for the last 8 months now, giving food away in an incredible way. And it'll keep on going on for a little while after. This has been a hub of outreach, evangelism, and life, not only to this community, but to this region. And each one of you are a great part of that. Thank you so much. Thank you as you give to that. Thank you as you've been so supportive and so faithful. Those of you that are at home, thank you for your generosity as well. And as Pastor Ryan said, we miss you. We hope to see you soon. I love each and every one of you. I thank God for you. Can we put our hands together one more time for the Lord Jesus today? Hasn't he been great? It's been good to be in his house. I love you. Go in his grace today. God bless you.